From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
If you have Medicaid or Healthy Montana Kids, it's time to renew your coverage. Not sure you still qualify? Don't wait. Complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet today. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
When it comes to water in Montana, we don't mess around. Well, if we do, we don't mess around for long. We might mess around in it, but about it, no, not really. Three-fourths of the planet being water, right? You try to tell that to somebody in north central Montana or in other parts of Montana, dry prairie, central Montana water system. In this state, we need water infrastructure. And we're getting quite a bit of it, but how far behind are we? And what kind of water infrastructure are we building? That's part of our discussion here today. We're going to look at one in particular, the North Central Montana Regional Water Authority, as we get into it here today on Voices of Montana. And thanks to you for making us part of your Montana mornings for all those years. Got a Monday ahead of us here and a good week. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Talking about water here today. And, of course, I'm going to just start off the program. It's Patriot Day. It's 9/11, 22 years ago. I don't know. Yes, it changed our country an awful lot. Some would say not so much for the better. I don't know if I'm even really put some thoughts together about 9/11 after all these years. It's really hard to soak in that we have the kind of enemies and we have the kind of evil in this world that would just kill 3,000 innocent people. It's hard, but that's why we keep our heads up and we keep fighting for the battles that that we can win. And of course, I think this is one we can win. It's been a long road since then. I think we've learned a lot about fear. I think we've learned a lot about terrorism as well. And I think we're smarter about it, but so are they. To those who have sacrificed for this country to hopefully sustain the values and the foundation that really moved the world forward in a lot of ways, and we can talk about it, but that's not what we're going to do here today necessarily. I just want to give a word out there to all those who have served, to all those who were affected by this day. Whether really directly or indirectly, let's keep our heads up and we'll keep fighting because we got a lot of good things to work for. Let's get to our discussion here today. Tom Schultz again alongside. Thanks for being here. Let's just welcome Larry Bondurant. Larry is a guy you probably recognize. City of Shelby, served there as a mayor for how many years was that, Larry?
28.
What do you think about that? You were mayor of Shelby for 28 years. How's that?
And then I was on city council 4 or 5 years before that. So, yeah, well, you know, it's just small town Montana. And, you know, we got a lot of things done. And there's still the current administration is getting a lot of things done. And a lot of infrastructure being built in Shelby for water and things like this. So, they're carrying on well. The community overall, I think, is for rural Montana is doing well. We've got a real diverse economic base here that developed over the years. So, yeah, I think they're doing well.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, too. You're also a member of the Board of Directors for the North Central Montana Regional Water Authority. And we're going to dig into this, so to speak. What you guys are doing there is similar to a number of these regional water authorities. You've got the Dry Prairie. There's one with the Musselshell River in central Montana. Let's start with what you guys are what you have built and what you guys are trying to build there.
Sure. So we've been underway. Probably we were formed 20 years ago, just like you guys.
Yeah.
And So then over the years, it's been a matter of, you know, getting communities and water districts and stuff to sign up. So that was done years and years ago. And now there's a large board that has representatives from each member entity that's participating. And then there's an executive committee that kind of handles the month-to-month functions of the organization. So it's quite a big, it's a $400 million project, of which we're about half done. We've got about $200 million into it. And it's with a partnership of the Rocky Boy tribe, who this all came about because of their water rights settlement that they did 20 years ago, and with the idea of getting water to the much-needed water to the reservation there. They've got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And thus, a big treatment plant was going to be built at Tiber, Lake Elwell, and then, 36-inch transmission lines are going to move it to the reservation, and so that's going along well. The treatment plant's about 90% complete at this time, and the transmission main from the treatment plant to the reservation, I'd say, is 70 or so percent complete. So within the next 2 years, everything should, on that portion of it, should be complete. Treatment plant and the transmission main to the reservation. And then basically a lot of systems, because of the congressional allocation, are going to be able to hook on to the main, the core system, which is the reservation, but it provides the opportunity for water to be provided to communities and water districts from Havre, Montana, to Cutbank, Montana, and from the border to Dutton, Montana. So it's a large area, big area, and each year we just keep putting the pieces together, and little by little, we're currently providing water to several systems by having other systems. Some had real critical water needs, water quality, water volume needs. And so we were able to use neighboring systems that are part of the Water Authority and temporarily provide them with needed water. So we've done that, like Shelby's providing water to Cutbank and to Devon and to several water districts north of Shelby because they had the water, they had the volume. And so interimly, they're providing water. They hooked up several years ago. And so that kind of bought some more time for the big system to get done. So we've built in this system, the water lines are built like from Shelby to Sunburst. And these are big water lines. It's not the 1-inch water lines. These
right.
are, 24 to 36-inch water lines.
How much water will they move?
I suppose about, when we're all said and done, 5 million per day, 5 million gallons per day, and then phase two complete, 10 million gallons per day.
Do we have that much water? Where is it coming from?
Lake Elwell. Yeah, you do. We're using, there's a few details to be worked out on that, but the Bureau of Reclamation is a federal agency that is in charge of this and assisting it. And so the Bureau of Rec has water rights in Lake Elwell, Tiber. And, 10 million gallons a day sounds like a lot of water, and it is, but more than that evaporates per day out of that 26-mile-long lake. So in comparison, it isn't really going to affect the lake levels or anything like that. It's just going to... and the big core system is out, built right in front of the dam. It's bored under the lake and then pops up right kind of in front of the dam. And that'll be the intakes for the water treatment plant. So,
what kind of water? Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's all good. And then the treatment plant is specifically designed for that water. You know, prior to building it, they did all this water sampling from all different levels in the lake, and it is a surface water source, so it requires treatment. And so this treatment plant specifically designed to treat that water.
Well, there's a lot to roll through here. I want to talk about, okay, now as we're talking about treatment, let's talk about what water quality issues we're dealing with. North Central Montana Regional Water Authority, member of the Board of Directors, Larry Bondarud, is with us here as we're talking about this core and this very critical resource in Montana water. There are four regional water authorities, Fort Peck, Dry Prairie. That's probably been maybe the most well-known one. That's the one that's, I think, maybe been around the longest. Maybe Larry can straighten me out there. You've got the Red Water System. You've got the Central Montana Regional Water System as well. Let's talk about the water quality issues that were and this is what this is about mainly, right, is the fact that you can't get good water out of some of the wells in that area. Why is that?
Yeah, wells, surface well, you know, the water quality standards that are developed by EPA, you know, get tougher and tougher from year to year. And so a lot of communities, in order to meet those standards, would have to build a new treatment plant. And so let's say just a little water treatment plant for a small town in Montana could be $10 to $15 million that, let's say, 100 people got to pay for. So, and then think of it, there's, you know, 16 members of our authority, and if each of them had to do a plant like that, it's crazy. So it was better to do one centralized plant and put pipe in the ground and take the water to those communities and water districts and systems than it would be for each of them to try to address the current water quality standards by EPA. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it. And Dry Prairie was the first in Montana, and they're nearing completion. They might have a few little things left, but and then we were the second one, and, you know, we've, you know, got a ways to go. And then there's, you know, the other two that have been formed and authorized, and then there's probably a couple more out there that are in the formation stages. So this is a way that a lot of Montana can meet water quality standards. Like, we'll serve about, you know, 60 to 70,000 people with our system. And so it's a good way for Montana to solve a big issue of water quality, water volume. So, you know, it's funded by the federal government.
All right, stand by. I want to take a break and then come back and talk about some of those aspects of it as well. You noted the volume. We kind of addressed that a little bit. Core system in place, a $400 million project overall. About half of that infrastructure in place. We'll talk about how the funding mechanism works and who funds it going forward. Larry Bondarud is with us. It is Water Today on Voices of Montana.
Attention recipients of Medicaid and Healthy Montana Kids. It's time to complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet. Don't wait and risk a gap in health coverage. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're talking about critical water infrastructure in our state, noting, and we'll continue to look at our water systems in more detail, but there's four of them that are just critical in some areas where we're not getting, really, it's water quality that's part of the issue here. The Red Water System, far northeastern Montana. You also have the Dry Prairie Rural Water System, sort of in that area. South of where Larry Bondarud is right now, the Central Montana Regional Water System. And then this one is the Rocky Boys North Central Montana Regional Water System. You noted Larry Bondarud is with us, who's a member of the Board of Directors of that water authority and a past mayor, I should say, of Shelby, Montana. And and in private practice, are you still doing some optometry work?
Yep, every day.
Yeah, the baby. I appreciate that, right? You got to be a working man.
Yep.
So this cost estimated at $436 million in 2023. A lot of that is federal government money. I want to talk about this funding stream a little bit, where it is, so you can avoid what's happened with the St. Mary's, and you're well familiar with that, where the local water users and that authority paid for 75% of all the upkeep there, and now that's probably a $200 million infrastructure project that's just barely really getting the attention that it needs. How heavy did that weigh on you, Larry? Or those who are part of this, when you look at the infrastructure that was built and how much money it costs, and then how you continue to keep it, so it is a system that, their design life is good for more 40, 50. I mean, that system's 100 years old.
Right. You know, the that St. Mary's system is just amazing. It was, built at the turn of the century. It was a real engineering feat to get that done, and the drops and things of this nature. But now it's starting to get the attention that it needs, kind of like everything that had to have a disaster.
Right.
And before anybody really started paying attention to it. But now they seem, they also have a board and things of this nature, and they seem to be on the right track for making the needed repairs. I have a farm north of Havre, so I always do that. And I drove across Fresno Dam on the way to my farm. That's one way I can go. Mm. And you can see all the work being done on Fresno Dam, which is a key part of that Milk River system.
Yeah, since you mentioned it, why don't you just update us on that real quick?
I know a little bit about it. They've received a considerable amount of funding, of which, they're using on dam repair there on the Milk River there on Fresno, and plus they're doing work on their, what we call the drops, the system of how that water changes elevations and things of this nature. And then the siphons, they siphon that water up to get it ultimately into the back into the Milk River, and then into Canada, and then out of Canada, and in the United States, and all the way across the High Line in Montana. Then on top of that, you've got all those irrigation districts that are making repairs and improvements to their systems that are fed by this the main system on the Milk River. So, yeah, they're making good progress. They've got good people there working on that. So that's all very good. And it relates to us because Havre gets their water out of the Milk River. And needless to say, that gives them some real water quality problems and occasionally water volume problems. So we're in the process of building 36-inch water lines from the core system to serve Havre, which would be the largest user of the North Central Montana Rural Water Authority. And so that pipeline has started and is under construction on probably within the next 2 years that'll be complete, and then they can switch their water plant off the Milk River and onto our system. So these are improvements are costly and they take a lot of time and a lot of money. Our funding is 80% federal dollars, 10% state dollars, and 10% local match. So 80-20. The agency in Montana is DNRC that is providing the funding for the 10% state match. And they're really good to work with and very helpful in our projects. And so we're appreciative of that. And of course, the legislature had to authorize that funding. And that's kind of for all of the rural water systems will likely follow that funding scenario. Although Congress can do some crazy things and increase the local match, those dollars are a lot harder to come by these days than they used to be. So
yeah, and they don't go as far. They don't go as far
right.
either.
Yeah, they don't go as far. So these projects, like we've honestly been working on this for 20 years, and so it is probably going to be 30 before we totally get it finished. You know, so these are long haul projects. Takes a lot of determination and a lot of work by a lot of volunteers. You know, we're all volunteers for the areas that we represent. So, and it's all because we know that water is the key to really Montana's future. Any community in Montana that doesn't have an adequate water supply is not going to develop economically and is going to be constrained by that lack of water. So
yeah, just plain and simple. And so it's very important. And I'm glad to see our state really focusing on it. I was glad to see the creation of these regional water systems. I think that's a good way to approach this, the economy of scale here. I'm going to come back and dig more into the cost of this and infrastructure all in all. And again, there's more to come on the other side of this break. I'll just leave it at that. Funding is still to be discussed here. Larry Bondurant is with us, and we're talking about the North Central Montana Regional Water System. Back with more here in a bit after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
If you have Medicaid or Healthy Montana Kids, it's time to renew your coverage. Not sure you still qualify? Don't wait. Complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet today. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
We come down to infrastructure. It's money, and it's big money, and it's the kind of big money that our government is intended to fund. These are the types of, this is why we have a central government, to fund these types of services, these critical water services. Larry Bondurant is with us. I'm Tom Schultz. It's Voices of Montana. Larry is with the North Central Montana Regional Water Authority. I want to get back, Larry, and again, I appreciate your time here. We'll have more on the other side of this 35 break. I want to continue this funding discussion. Is it all in place? You talked about sometimes Congress can do some shenanigans.
Yeah, like in theory, the formula was developed like when we started, and the federal government and state agencies and local governments, you know, have all stayed by that. If there's a new authorized water authority or water district, I mean, it would be subject to the funding that Congress sets at that time. But ours is pretty much set. And then ours has, because these projects take so long, the funding is indexed. So each year there's an indexing that takes into account increased costs and things of this nature. So that's how a $200 million project when we started gets to a $400 million project.
Yeah.
You know, now. And so, but the federal government and state agencies index that each year and kind of increase the project amount. Until we're done, and
is this spend gonna last beyond 40 years, 50 years?
Yeah, you know, the design life for, you know, when we first started, every community was asked, you know, give us your projections of how much water you're gonna need in 40 years. Mm-hmm. So each district, each community, each city, kind of had to project out there and estimate by population and trends across Montana, so how much water they're going to need. So each district, each water system came back and said, we need this much water. And then that led to the sizing of the pipes and the sizing of the treatment plant, all based upon the community's needs. And of course, that can change throughout the years. So there is some flexibility in the design of this as to we can flex up if needed. So that's how the design and sizing of everything occurred, is based upon what those communities needed at their peak day. We needed to know the highest, project your highest water usage day. because we have to be able to meet that demand. And so that's how it all came about.
One of the critical questions that we'll answer after the break is, you know, there's funding to get this thing in the ground, so to speak, and the federal government's accepting quite a bit of that responsibility, 80%. The state matches 10, the local matches 10. Even at that, that's still an awful lot of money for some of these smaller communities like Conrad and Brady and Dutton. I mean, you can just name them off here. Saco, Haver. We're back with more. We talk about how we keep our critical water infrastructure going on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Attention recipients of Medicaid and Healthy Montana Kids. It's time to complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet. Don't wait and risk a gap in health coverage. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
Talking about how to get that good water to places where there are good people in Montana, Larry Bondurant is with us, the North Central Montana Regional Water Authority, a member of the board of directors there. And for more information, NCMRWA, North Central Montana Regional Water Authority.com. Actually, a good set of maps there and a good set of, information that talks about the system design. So, Larry, our guest here. Tomorrow, upcoming on the program, this was I'm thinking last week, ago tomorrow. And I just got a call. I try to answer my phone because I just never know who it's going to be. And I don't like doing it on the air, but I had that break there. It was a fraud call. It was just one of those stupid fraud calls from, from a fraudster who says that there's somebody's buying devices and you should click on here and call this number to double check and make sure. So we talked an awful lot about that. Yeah, there you go. We talked an awful lot about that last week with Troy Downing, Montana's auditor, state auditor, commissioners of securities and insurance. And so just pointing you to the podcast for that. These fraudsters, they know a lot more now than they used to. And, man, they're working it. And Montanans have to work it as well when it comes to getting infrastructure funding it's a very, very large state, and it's pretty dry in some areas. And this is why we have these critical water systems, four of them in Montana. There may be more coming, but they've served some critical areas. We're talking about this one. It's North Central, so it's Highline area, kind of west of Haver, all the way, did you say, to Cutbank? Almost all the way to Shelby, right? Or past Shelby?
Yeah, to Cutbank. It goes to Cutbank, okay. And then from Sweetgrass at the border to Dutton along the I-15 corridor.
It's large pieces of property there, and large pipelines to service that. I want to get back to the funding, and because that's always critical. We know things like this cost an awful lot. The longer they take, the more it costs. And then once they're in the ground, those maintenance costs can add up as well. I think we noted when there was some infrastructure money coming in from the federal government to Montana, there was twice as many applications for spending than there was funding available. A signal to me, anyway, and to others, that we are woefully short of infrastructure maintenance funding. How was this system designed, Larry, to be efficient going into the ground, also be cost efficient in maintenance?
Sure. Well, the maintenance of the system really starts on day one, the minute it's activated, the minute the water's going down those pipelines. And, you know, people don't really think about it too much, but there's a lot of moving parts in water systems. You know, the water lines have valves. There's telemetry systems that control, you know, the movement of the water, and there's water, big water tanks, and all those require maintenance. So every time we get a section done or a piece put in, we've assigned maintenance personnel to begin the maintenance of that system really on day one. And we have a one-year warranty period from the contractor. And so, in that 1 year, you're looking for anything, any issues that are wrong or problems. And then it's automatically maintained by neighboring systems. You know, for instance, Shelby maintains City of Shelby maintains the water lines going Shelby North and Shelby South, and Tiber Water District maintains our lines out there by the dam and things of this nature. So it's kind of a shared maintenance responsibility. Also, you know, ultimately, as we reach full build-out, the authority may, in fact, hire its own maintenance teams that are positioned throughout the system to maintain it. But we're going to jump over that hurdle when we get there. So, but for now, we maintain the systems very economically. We have made repairs to part of the system. Some of our system's been in 10 years already. So we have to stay on top of that maintenance and fix things when it's needed. So ideally, you know, it's designed for a 40-year life, but with proper maintenance or so, we should be able to get up into the 100-year numbers with longevity of the project.
Who's responsible for that maintenance funding? Operational stuff?
Well, the rate structure that the board sets has a maintenance reserve system in it. So really, the responsibility, of course, is the authority itself, but who really pays for it are the users, and by the rates that they pay for that water. So just like any community in Montana should be setting aside money for maintenance and things of this nature, we do that also.
10,000 households, an estimated population of about 28,000. Even then, we're talking about, I don't know. You know, what is the ongoing? Is that projected, perhaps? I know you, and the system is not built. You said about half built, so maybe it's hard to get a handle on what ongoing expenses are going to be. But do we have a handle on it?
Yeah, not really. I mean, when they occur, they occur.
Yeah.
And so they're real, because we're writing checks to maintain this system and fix things when it goes wrong and things of that nature. We use a lot of Montana contractors, number one, to build the system, and number two, to maintain the system. So it all kind of fits together. It's really a huge economic development project from the aspect of getting water to communities so their economic development can occur, but also putting Montanans to work in building this massive project. So
what do you think, though? You think that there's not a really good figure on it, but so local authorities are going to be in charge of maintenance as much as they can for their local systems.
Well, we would actually have a contract with them. The contract would pay them so much per month to, you know, drive the lines, look for things, and they'll do that by having their own employees do that. So they receive a payment for the monitoring of this very large system. And then as larger maintenance items occur, they would see that they're addressed, and then the authority would reimburse them for costs involved in that repair and that maintenance. So it's all pretty well laid up.
Yeah.
Laid out.
Is this set up similar to the other regional water authorities in the state?
Yes, very similar. You know, there's kind of a template that goes, you know, and there's funding involved. There's bonding involved. So you've got bond council, and you've got various funding entities that participate in this project as it moves along. Of course, we put the local match last. So we want to spend the federal money. We want to spend the state money. And then we'll come in with the required match at the tail end of this. And so we've done some matches to project as it goes along. You know, that's kind of the best way to do it. That's just good business.
What have you learned? What are you doing well? You talk about a lot of moving parts, the design life here. You know, and what are some of those challenges still, too?
Well, you know, I think number one on top of all this is the relationship with the Rocky Boy tribe, who really was the entity that triggered all this potential development when they did their water rights settlement. And so these water rights settlements come with funding for them, and then we piggybacked onto that. Well, they're 100% funded, you know, by the Bureau of Rec like this, and we're 80% funded. That's the formula that they got through Congress 20 years ago. So, and that takes a lot of work by your congressional delegation, and we're very thankful for them and all the hard work they do for our system. And so there's a lot of coordination, and the state agencies are involved. And I mean, when we have our monthly meeting, I mean, there's, you know, the Bureau is there, DNRC, EPA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA. So this is a big puzzle with a lot of participants. And so that's kind of a juggling act, keeping everybody happy.
Yeah.
But on we go.
Yeah. Larry Bonnaroon again with us here, a member of the Board of Directors for the North Central Montana Regional Water Authority. There's probably, I didn't count them, but there's maybe 16 or, you know, better than two dozen. There's a lot of collaboration going on here, too. And in just a couple of minutes, I'd like to address that because, you know, how many miles of water will water pipeline, I guess, is going to be laid. But also talk about how these communities are working together to make sure that everybody has adequate supply of quality water. Do you know how?
You think about it. From Havre to Cut Banks, like 130 miles. And from the border to Dutton is probably 80 miles. And so you've got core lines there. Then inside of that core, you've got a bunch of smaller lines that run out. For instance, we just completed the run to Big Sandy. We just completed the run to Loma. And those are all 30, 40-mile runs. Mm. So there's a lot of pipe in the ground.
Okay. Well, good enough, sufficient. How are these communities collaborating together? Because water, you know, I'm gonna hang on to mine unless somebody really, really needs it.
Well, in spite of who won Friday night's football game, everybody gets along pretty well on this board. You know, they have an opportunity to you know, be heard. They're represented by whoever they said they wanted to represent them. So overall, you know, we've never really hit any obstacles, you know, to this. I mean, real bad feelings or bad things of that nature. So it just kind of, you know, the executive committee meets monthly, and they're the ones that are handling the bills, paying the bills. We have staff, a couple staff people that monitor things for us as far as making sure bills are valid when they're submitted and keeping in touch with all the members and things of this nature. So, you know, it's gone amazingly well.
How can the public be informed and you know, and be a contributing part of the critical need for water?
Sure. You know, every one of our meetings is a public meeting. You know, we don't have any closed meetings or anything like that. So they're welcome to come to the meeting and be there. We'll typically meet in Great Falls or Shelby or Havre. We kind of like to move our meetings around so more opportunity for more people to be involved and attend. And then, of course, each meeting has call-in that they can call in and be heard at that meeting. And so there's a lot of opportunities to participate and just know what's going on and comment what's going on. Everybody's got different ideas, and that's good. And the executive committee is responsible for hearing those ideas.
Are most of these projects already out for bid?
No, the last one we bid was a segment of the Havre line going to Havre. And now another large portion of that Havre is 90% completed design. It's got to go through DEQ to be approved and stuff. But, yeah, then each of our pieces are publicly bid in Montana. It goes out to bid. So, in a way, it's kind of good that we have broken this up into pieces kind of out of necessity. And so it gives a lot of smaller contractors an opportunity to bid on these sections of pipe and things of that nature. And you don't have one big company come in and bidding on the whole thing. So the way it's been broken up, I think, has been real conducive to economic development in the area.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. You said about halfway done, and you're thinking it'll take about 10 years to get the rest of this project completed?
Yeah, I'm guessing 5 to 10 years. You know, just it's all dependent upon funding, you know. But the big piece, after we get the Haver piece connected, number one, the tribe has to finish. And the tribe is actually building the core line with their construction company. But once that's in and done and water flowing, then we'll ideally be done with our Haver line also. So that'll fit together and we can start getting water to Haver. And then the big piece at that time that'll be left will be the a core line from the treatment plant to Shelby. And I think that's estimated to cost, you know, $52 to $60 million. So, but once that done, the Shelby's kind of already done part of the build out, like to Cut Bank and to up north to the border. And so, but that'll be the big remaining.
Hey, Larry, that's, I appreciate that. We'll keep up. Thanks for updating on this and we'll keep up to speed on it as well. And thanks to all those who are working on this project too. Larry Bondaru. Take care, sir.
You too. Thank you.